I want to share. Somebody asked, what's the difference between preaching and teaching? And somebody gave the answer, if you're loud, you're preaching. If you're soft, you're teaching. If you want to get really serious about it, you could say preaching is proclaiming, teaching is explaining. You know, you can play that. But, you know, I don't feel like I have it on my heart to do either one of those today like I normally would do. I just feel like sharing. I just feel like talking to you after last Sunday, the message. I've had it on my heart all week, prayed through it all week, and I just feel like I need to share with you what's on my heart. How many of you are familiar with time? How many of you are familiar with time? Okay. How many of you are familiar with daylight savings time? All right. We might not have been aware of it when we went to bed, but we found out about it when we woke up. And, you know, we have so much that really is our life experience defined by time. There's many, many songs written about time, both Christian and secular. Time keeps on slipping into the future and all that. You know, you got the Christian and then you got the secular version of that, of time keeps on slipping away, slipping away. You know, right? Oh, I got all that. So you're going, wow, I can't believe you just did that on a Sunday morning service. But there's three Greek words that are used in the New Testament for time, and I want to look at one of them because I think it's going to help to frame what I want to share with you this morning. And that Greek word is kairos. How many of you heard of the word kairos, okay? The interesting thing about the word kairos is that it doesn't so much refer to time in a general sense, but time in a more specific sense. A good way to, in English, express the word kairos is to talk about a season of time, a season of life, and all of us go through seasons. We do it sometimes even in a week. We go through it certainly in a year, but we go through it throughout life. We're in the season of this experience or the season of this age or the season of that age. And kairos would be more about a season or a specific time defined as a season. But I think that there's also something even more specific than a season, because when you look at how this word is used in Greek literature, and then in the Greek New Testament, the original language of the New Testament, you see that it refers to a season, but it also refers to an occasion. It refers even to a moment. We say it in English, a moment in time. This is a moment in time. That means that time goes on. It keeps slipping away, right? It just keeps moving like an ever-rolling stream. But there seems to be something about this moment that we're in. It could be this season, it could be this moment, it could be this occasion that we're in. And last week, I had a sense that through the message that Jason shared with us, that we weren't just hearing from a dear brother, but we were hearing a prophetic word from the Lord. And that word was referring to a moment. A moment, I'm sure, in your life, but a moment also in the life of this church. Now, let me read you two scriptures, and then I'll talk about your life and the life of this church. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come. Therefore, repent." The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God has come. That's the kairos. That's the occasion. That's the moment. And we know in its setting that it was talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus to this earth, a promise that had been given thousands of years earlier that was now being fulfilled. It wasn't just any time. It was that time. It was the time for the prophecies to be fulfilled, for Jesus to be revealed. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come in the right now moment. That is an example of kairos. I'll give you another example before, but I just heard Jason speaking last week to us on a theme of being freed from fear. And I knew that it was God speaking. I knew that the Lord had something for us. In fact, I felt it in my spirit at the beginning of October to ask Jason to speak at Embassy Church, not after the 10th is over, which would have been the more kind of understandable thing to do. Wait till the 10th is over. He's doing night shifts, day shifts, all this. Give him a break. Don't add to his load. Let's wait till after. But I felt in my spirit to ask him. So I went there to get a confirmation of what he felt in his spirit. I just asked him this way. I said, I'm wondering if you'd be interested to speak during David's tent, but there's no pressure on you because if you don't speak, I'll be okay. I'm not going out of town or anything. We have other speakers. We'll be okay. It's not because of need that I'm saying this related to us not being able to speak. It's just, I just wondering if you would feel something in your spirit. And as he told you last week, his first thought was, I don't know about that, you know, maybe after. But then he says he prayed, and he felt like the Lord gave him something. He was obedient to the Lord. When he texted me and said, this is the scripture that I have for the church, it was this scripture. You remember it if you were here last week. Perfect love casts out fear. Ekbalos. Remember he talked about, like, you cast out a demon. It's cast out. It's taken, and fear is forcibly removed from your life by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And we did some powerful stuff last week, making powerful declarations. And I believe that things were being broken at that moment. But what was interesting to me is when he sent me that text, I knew what had happened the 2 weeks before. And with David's tent, he hadn't been here the 2 weeks before. He didn't know what had happened. He didn't know that during the time of ministry, the Lord was speaking through the message and through other people that were coming to the microphone. And there were two things. It was God was setting us free from fear, and God was setting us free from failure. And the prophetic ministry of the Lord was being brought up in our midst, and people were speaking to God setting us free from fear, God setting us free from failure, which they're both tied together, because when you fail, you're afraid you're going to do it again, you know? And so the reality is that the Lord was dealing with us for 3 weeks. And I know that God did something in my life, and I'm sure that God did something in your life. You might not even have come to terms with it yet. You might not have seen the full realization of that in your life. But I believe over time, we're going to look back, and we're going to see how individually the Lord ministered to us to set us free from fear, to set us free from the fear of humans, to set us free from the fear of failure, to set us free from whatever the fears are that keep us from entering into the kingdom of God, entering into the purposes of God. And it was to me last week a Kairos moment. It was an occasion of God speaking to us over a period of 3 weeks and bringing it fully home to us last week. And I knew that we had to pause. I'm excited to finish. I believe I could still finish Revelation before the end of the year, if not soon into the new year. But the reality is I'm excited about the messages that God's been brewing in me to bring that series to a conclusion. And I'm thrilled about the messages. I can't even tell you how thrilled I am about it. But I knew that today we needed to pause, because there's a moment we're in right now. We're hearing from the Lord God Almighty, and he's speaking to us. And he's setting us free from fear. There were references to ISIS and to Ebola and to, you know, the shootings and all these things. There were references the week before to some of the persecutions that are not near as serious in this country as other countries, but we're seeing an escalation of them. We're seeing an intensification of those persecutions in this country. And the Lord was speaking to us about setting us free from fear. I don't even know how God ministered to you individually last week about what areas in your life that God was setting you free from, that God was pointing to and saying, you need to not walk in fear, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Can you say amen to God? But Jason told us that there's a twofold purpose to delivering us from fear. One is for our own health and well-being. God is concerned about your health and your well-being. He doesn't want to see you bound up by worry. He doesn't want to see you bound up by stress. He doesn't want to see you bound up by the pressure that you feel from, you know, this one or that one or this thing or that thing. He wants to set you free from that. And Jason said that one of the purposes, and I know it's a biblical principle, that one of the purposes of God setting us free from fear is for our own health and well-being so that we can be free. Can you say amen? But he also used the example of Joshua to tell us God is not just setting us free for ourselves. God is setting us free for others, for our destiny to be fulfilled in how we influence others around us, family members, friends, who knows how many people. God wants to use you to influence, and maybe that fear that would hold you back needs to be broken so that you could stand up and be who God wanted you to be and do what God wants you to do. Can you say amen? So in Joshua chapter 1, over and over again, the Lord said to Joshua, Joshua, be strong and of courage. Do not fear. I am with you. Do you remember that? I am with you. The presence of God. We need to experience the presence of God on our jobs, I believe. Can you say amen? We need to experience the presence of God in our schools or in our homes, wherever we are. We need to experience the presence of God. We need to know that He's with us. And what sometimes keeps us from knowing that is this paralyzing fear. And don't make any mistake, fear paralyzes. I read these police reports about people who got in car accidents. And the officer walks up to them and says, tell me in as few words as possible what happened here, and I'm going to record it down. And insurance companies have to record what their answers are. And insurance companies reported what kind of answers people give. And they border on the hilarious. The kind of things people say when they're afraid. Like, for instance, the man that said, I saw the slow-moving, sad-faced gentleman as he bounced off the hood of my automobile. Now, that's not normal language, but that's something you might say when you're caught up with fear, you know? I mean, that's kind of a freaky statement to make, you know? The poor man is bouncing off the hood of your car, and you're just saying it like it doesn't matter. How about this one? Officer, the tree... I was swerving, and I had to swerve several times before I could strike the tree. That's confusion right there. You don't swerve to hit the tree. You swerve to get away from the tree. But out of fear, they're saying the most outlandish statements. The reality is, when we are afraid, we are outside of ourselves, not being who God made us to be, not fulfilling God's purpose. But God wants to set us free. And when He does, we're able to take the people into the promised land, so to speak. Joshua was told to be free of fear so that he could take the people to the promised land. It wasn't just Joshua's health and well-being that was his stake. It was the destiny for God's people. And so God wants to set you free so that you can fulfill God's purpose in setting other people free by the power of Jesus. Can you say amen? So the question we need to ask is, if God is speaking to us about fear and being free and all these things, and God is doing it in such a timely way, 3 Sundays in a row, and just driving it home so powerfully last Sunday, that was our prophetic moment, I believe. Then we need to ask, what season are we in? What occasion are we in? What moment are we in? What kairos are we in? What time is it? Not only in your life, but I believe in our church life. Because God, as Jason pointed out, is not just speaking to us individually, but us collectively. Because God just doesn't have a calling on your life individually. He has a calling on this church. He didn't place us on Embassy Row on Mass Ave at the top of this hill, surrounded by all these homes, surrounded by all these apartments, surrounded by all these businesses, surrounded by all these universities, surrounded by all these embassies, surrounded by all these people who live around us for just no reason at all. And it wasn't just for us to have a comfortable place. God gave us this location. We could meet anywhere and still love one another. But God gave us this location and a building. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, that is shaped from the outside like a megaphone. You know what a megaphone is? It's short on one end and wider on the other end. And somebody pointed out to me once, did you ever realize that your church is shaped like a megaphone? When you look at the outside, it's like the short end is on this side and the outside. Why? So that we can make a statement to the city of Washington, D.C., who God is. Can you say amen? So we need to ask, what time is it for us? Not just for you individually, but what time is it for us? And you know what? I'm just going to talk to you about what I sense. First of all, I want to talk to you about October. And I want to say it this way. I cannot tell you how glad I am that October is over. I'm kissing this month goodbye in the name of Jesus. I'm saying, Lord, thank you that it is finished. You know, that it is done, it is over. And you might not know all the reasons why, and I might not be able to give you all the reasons why, but I can at least give you a feel for what I mean by that. Let's start with a broken pipe in our basement that is the reason why you are huddled up with your coats on this morning. Why you are not in a comfortably heated room. Why you are not here saying, oh, I feel good here, but your hands are freezing and your toes are starting to get colder as the moments go by. But because you love God, you're still here. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, when a pipe busts in our basement, I've referenced this before, and water starts to come out, and then we find out it's our main line to our heating in the building. And the water is pouring directly on our main electrical panel. The first thought that you have is, God must be watching out for us because we should be having a fire right now for the second time in as many as 3 months or whatever, and yet God is protecting this building. All I know is that you must be praying and God must be responding because we've had two of those occasions, and so... You know, I want you to realize we have a 47-year-old building. Sometimes pipes are not going to make it through. A little extra pressure, something's wrong. We're going to experience now about two-thirds of the piping have been replaced in this building over the last 15 years or so. We've got some more to replace. And the pipe, we believe, is going to be replaced starting tomorrow morning, and they're telling us they'll be done by Friday. Now, the amazing thing is, who lives upstairs? If you're here in the room and you live upstairs, raise your hand if you live upstairs. Paulo, Jonathan, and there are others as well. Have you been cold upstairs? You have? It's been cold. When did it get cold? A while ago? Really? Okay. I've been going up there, just so you know, not to be contradictory, because that's Son and Father right there. So we're cool. Don't worry. We're cool. But I've been going up there, and I've been saying, how you guys doing? Is it cold up here? And they're like, no, we're fine, you know. We're fine. It's okay up here. So maybe they were not telling me the straight line. I don't know. But last night, it got really cold. And they're going to be cold for the next few days, it seems. And I just hold that thought, because I can't stop now. I can't. Sorry. We just need to pray that the Lord will take care of everyone who's living in this building. We got little kids, the Hershey kids, they're living in this building, right? We need to pray that the Lord, but God has given us so many days that have been so, have you noticed how warm it was for October? But now it's getting cold, we just need to trust God for it. But the reality is, that's a pressure, that's a concern. There's some, you know, that happened in October. But there were other things that were going on in October. Did any of you know that I went on trial in October? How many of you knew I went on trial in October? Okay, a few of you know I went on trial. All the leaders of the church raised their hand, right? And we had a hearing related to the playground placement out there. We had a neighbor that, as you know from that, they didn't want the playground to be placed next to their home. So what they did was they came and they tried to discover whatever might be kind of legally they could go. And they've said two things. One, the preschool is not allowed to be here. And number two, YWAM is not allowed to be here. And instead of going and talking about the playground placement, they've made a hearing that says that there should no longer be a preschool here and no longer a playground or no longer a YWAM here. All right. So I'm sitting there at this hearing, and my neighbor over there, who we've had good relations with over the years, but now because of the playground. And by the way, we're ready to move the playground wherever they tell us to move it. We don't want to fight with our neighbors or anything like that. We're waiting for the city to tell us, and we'll pay the expense if we have to. Whatever we have to do, we'll do it. But in the meantime, we've had this issue come with YWAM and the preschool. And so I'm sitting there in this hearing, and as I'm sitting there in this hearing, they're saying, they start fires over there. They have lights on 24 hours a day. The young people are there. They're terrible. None of those things are. Come and visit us anytime. If you ever think, whoa, what's our church doing? We're a wide open book. If you want to come and see us in the midnight time, if you want to come and see us later, see if we're bothering our neighbors, and you might find one thing that we could do better than we're doing it now. And we welcome that. We want to be good neighbors. But I don't think that we're doing the things that they're telling. So I'm sitting there in that hearing, and I had to be by myself. They said, only one of you, we want you to come. And so I was there. I got all the people praying. But I'm sitting there listening to these things about how we had bonfires next to their house and all these things. And it's just kind of crazy stuff going on. And I didn't feel good. How many of you would have felt good? I didn't feel good about that. And that happened in October. That's a fun month. Aren't you glad that October's over? Somebody say amen. Somebody say, well, how'd the hearing turn out? We don't know yet. The decision will be handed down November 18th. You've got something to pray about in Jesus' name. Okay? November the 18th, pray. And let because, we want to continue on with the training center and the prayer center and all of those things. By the way, I just want you to know this, that the attorney for the city has told us you are on solid legal footing. And all the things that are going on, you have full right to do these things. Everything has been done. We had permits for everything. We had all that. But again, since I'm bringing that up, if you have questions, you want to know anything about how things are going on, you might be able to help us with an idea. But the most thing is, if you have questions, we believe you need to get answers. So if you need to come to any of us leaders and say, hey, we're not going to feel bad. We're not going to feel like you're picking on us, okay? You're a member of this church, and you're a part of this church, and if you want to know how things are going, we're a wide-open book, okay? But this is the issue that's going on. So that happened in the month of October. You know what else happened in the month of October? I have a personal assistant that is working with me for a year running the office. He's doing it from April of this year to April of next year, and do you know that he was gone the whole month of October? The whole month of October. What's a pastor supposed to do without his pastoral assistant for a whole entire month? And so I don't want to make him feel guilty. I don't want to make him feel bad. I'm just stating a fact. He was gone the whole month, and I love him dearly. And I thank God for his great experience in Brazil. And I thank God that Joe got to go and be with him and the whole family there and all the ministries that are going on there. And I know you're going to hear more about that. We love you, Vinny, okay? No harm, no foul, no bad feelings. It was just a tough month, and I'm glad you're back. So I said, you know what, Rochelle, while Vinny is gone, can you pick up the slack? And Rochelle said, yes. Until her son went in the hospital, and then the second half of the month, I had no Vinny, I had no Rochelle. How many of you think I'm glad that October is over? Ismail's well, all right? He's out of the hospital, he's all taken care of, right? And Vinny's back. I'm glad that October is over. We had four major family crises going on all through the month of October here at Embassy Church. And when you're seeing that happen in your church, you bear the load with people. You're there. We know what Paulo and Michelle have gone through over the last several days, and there were other things that happened. And it was a tough month, very emotional month, and really difficult things that people were walking through. And as a church, we walk through those things with them. So their difficulty becomes our difficulty. That's the way the Bible taught it. If one person hurts, we all hurt. Can you say amen? And so I don't know how you feel, Paula, but I'm glad that October is over. I'm just glad that it's over. And I had a family funeral. I had to go down to North Carolina, do the family funeral in October, and as a result, I couldn't finish the Greek class I was taking Joel through, and I got behind in that, and that led to me staying up late, and I wasn't working, exercising on my elliptical for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was, and I started to feel myself get unhealthy again. Some of you know I've lost some weight. I've got some more to go, but I've been getting healthy, and for about 3 weeks, I saw, instead of me going the right direction in health, I saw me slipping back into the wrong direction in health, and I started getting concerned for that. I just want to say that that's all over as October is over. Can you say amen? And I looked at all of these things that seemed to be just circumstantial. And then I began to think, you know what? Sometimes it's not just a time. Let me say it this way. Sometimes it's not just time that you're going through. Sometimes you're in a time. And what you're going through is not just because time is slipping away. But you're in a moment. You're an occasion. You're in a kairos. And what's going on is related to the season that you're in, the occasion, the moment that you're in. And I began to think about how crazy October was. And I began to put two and two together when I was going to prayer. And all of a sudden, I began to think, you know what? Of course we're getting attacked. Of course we're going through all these pressures. We just had prayer at the beginning of this year through YWAM that went on and prayed for the Muslim world. And one of the results of that was I, as the pastor of this church, was asked to pray the Christian prayer on the steps of the Islamic Center. And I still can't believe that that happened. But I stood on the steps of that Islamic Center, and I prayed out, to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be glory and honor forever and ever. To the one who was slain and with his blood purchased people for God, that they may be a kingdom and priests to God to serve him forever and ever. And I'm making this public declaration, and I'm thinking to myself, this has to be a kairos moment. When was the last time that the name of Jesus, the real Jesus, the crucified and risen Jesus was lifted up on the steps of the Islamic Center? Jesus never hears worship like that in that place, that we know of at least. Maybe there are some people slipping in, I don't know, and giving Jesus praise for who he really is. But I'm thinking to myself, this is a kairos moment. And we didn't even know that what the Lord was adding to that was a youth choir that would come and would sing two songs. First, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, on the steps of the Islamic Center. And then they sang John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's not what the Islamic faith teaches, but it was proclaimed on the steps of the Islamic Center. And when I think about the kind of thing, something like that, it makes sense to me that the very next month it would see like not all hell's breaking loose, because it wasn't really that bad, but the pipe was breaking and Vinny was gone and Rochelle had to step out and I'm starting to get unhealthy again and all these things are going on and people are bearing these loads that they weren't bearing in September. And all of a sudden I'm realizing, you know, this is one hard month. It makes sense. No wonder the things are going on in October when we saw what was going on in September. We had people, I want to tell you this, is an amazing story. I just heard this Thursday night. Kyle Poole, the one who said to me, the reason why I'm asking you to be the one who prays on the steps of the Islamic Center is because, in his words, he said, the unity walk needs a little more Jesus. That's what he told me. I said, okay, God, that's my charge. And I asked a lot of people to pray, and you guys prayed. And Jesus was lifted up. Kyle called me Thursday, and he said, we're having a unity walk reunion. Would you come? And I said, yes. And we, all of us were giving our stories about the unity walk as we were there at St. Sophia's. Yep, we were there at St. Sophia's, you guys. And we were all telling our stories, and as we were telling our stories, I just felt like I needed to get up and be a part of what was going on. You know, just not be off to the side as an elitist, just to share humanity with people. And I stood up and I says, you know what my favorite moment was? I said one of, I didn't say the, I said one of, because I didn't go into length, but it was the prayer. It was my favorite moment. But I said, you know what one of my favorite moments was, and the one that I don't think I'll ever forget. I said, I was asked to give the prayer as a Christian leader in this community. And then I sat down, and the Jewish rabbi who I had just met put his arm around me and squeezed me on my shoulder and pulled me to himself like a father would do with his son, or a brother would do with his brother. And the rabbi was sitting there. I said, Rabbi, I don't think I'll ever forget that moment, and I thank you for that. And it was just, we were just sharing, you know, humanity with each other. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to commit to you the testimony. That was all I said. I felt not to go. And then a lady stood up, the last one to share. She held up her iPhone or Android, whatever it was. And she held it up and says, I want to read a story. She says, I'm not Jewish, but my Jewish friend sent me this story. And she says, I want to read it to you. She said, she stopped at a church on the walk, and it's the church that lays hands on people. She says, I don't know what church that is. Do you guys know what church that is? And they all pointed at me and said, that's his church right there. That's his church right there. And she said, I want to read this to you. She says, my friend is Jewish, and she went to that church, and they said, can we pray for you for any problem that you have? And she went up to the people. I don't know which ones of you it was that she came to. And she said, please pray for me. I've had years of stomach problems, and I can't get any relief from it. With it, no matter what I do with doctors or whatever, I can't get relief. She said that they prayed for me, and the pain immediately left me and hasn't come back. And when that happened, the people that were sitting in this room, who were Buddhist, who were there were Catholics there was Mormons there, there was Zoroastrianism, you know, Zoroaster, however you pronounce that, and they were all there. And when they heard about that woman being healed, they were all behind me, because I'm looking at her. They're all behind me, and I heard behind me, you know, like there was this collective gasp, like, wow. You know what? Yesterday, I was at a teen challenge center about 3 hours from here, and I met a 17-year-old boy who said, I've been here a month, and he says, I came in here blind in one eye since birth. The second week I was here, we were just praying and worshiping, and he did this motion. He said, my eye went like this. And he says, I can see perfectly with this eye now. I says, I've never seen from this eye since birth. I repented last week, and I'm going to do it again. I didn't know I was doing this. I'm a glass half full guy. And sometimes I need God to tell me what I need to be aware of that I'm not aware of, because I'm happy. I'm just happy for the most part. Not always, but for the most part, I'm happy. And I don't see sometimes things until God really reveals. And last week, God revealed. I don't want you to get me wrong. I praise God for what he's done at Embassy Church. We would not have survived. This church was in a wilderness experience for 40 years, and that was broken 5 years ago. They had so many divisive things happen over a 40-year period of time, and it hasn't been until the last 5 years that the Lord has brought peace to this congregation. I can't tell you. And it happened through a financial crisis. The Lord just uprooted the whole thing, just uprooted it. And it happened through a financial crisis with a school and all that. And I felt bad as a leader, because I just thought, man, what have we committed to and all this? But you know what? We survived that by the grace of God. And I've been thanking God. God, I didn't know how we were going to make it, but you made us make it. And we've paid every bill, and we've had peace, and we've had unity, and we've just been a great 5 years. And we laid down, because we couldn't, when we were in survival mode for a year, almost 2 years, we laid down our God encounter weekends, our school of leaders. We just couldn't do all those things. And the Lord provided for us Harold Brinkley and the 21-day consecration, and the Lord provided for us YWAM and the 40-day breakthrough. And then again, and all the while, the Lord was telling us, the reason why I'm doing this is I'm trying to teach you as a church that it's not about programs and it's not about personalities. It's about the presence of God. And the Lord was telling us, you've got to remember the prophetic word that I gave to you. And that is, don't pray for people to come. Just pray for God to come and he'll bring the people. Don't try to attract people. Just attract God and he'll attract the people. And in my positivity, you know, communication and all those things, I've been just reveling in how good God is. And then have we been starting life classes again? And then we'll be able to put the next piece together and in life groups that flow out of life classes. And we'll talk more about that in God Encounter Weekends. I feel like the Lord's been putting the pieces back together. And God kept a beautiful nucleus of people here and added to that nucleus. And then God is enabling us to step by step move back into the other ministries that we had to lay down. And so I've been so excited about what the Lord's doing. And then last week happened. And it was like, I told Jason, I said, Jason, it was like God came and just lovingly just kind of slapped me upside the head and woke me up and said, you know what, Dave? You've got to remind people not just of what God has done, but what God is doing now and what he wants to do tomorrow. You've got to seize a hold of the moment. You can't just be saying, I thank God that he helped us through the wilderness and he's been able to provide for us and protect us for these 40 years. I can't just revel in the fact of how the Lord has been so good and so faithful to us. There's a destiny on this church. There's a calling on this church. And I believe it's not time later on for us to walk into the promises of God, to walk into the promised land. The Lord wants us to be a place of healing. He doesn't just want one woman to spread her story of being healed of stomach issues in this place. God wants there to be a multiplicity of healings in this place. He wants there to be every area of this place where people know if they are going to be healed, they got to come to this place or get somebody to come out of this place to lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. I just believe that God has told us that Jesus didn't have a public relations campaign. He didn't have newspapers. He didn't have television. He didn't rely on radio. All that was needed for the crowds to come was for Jesus to be there. That was all that was required, was for Jesus to be there. And I believe that God wants to get us as a church where we say, Lord, we'll do stuff that you want us to do, but we won't do anything you don't want us to do. Because, God, we just need to make sure that you go to church at Embassy Church. I want to ask the question, Jesus, do you go to church here? Is this your church of choice? Are we the people that you want to be with on a regular basis? You say, well, are you calling into question the love of God for us? No, I'm not calling into question the love of God for us. God loves all the world. He loves us generally. But if you look at Scripture, you find people that God responded to. You find places that God responded to. Why? Because those people in those places had experienced the love of God and then dedicated their life to it. They didn't worry about their jobs so much as the presence of God. They didn't worry about their finances so much about the purposes of God. And I firmly believe that we're in a Kairos moment, and I believe that the Lord started by rebuking me last week. And calling me to say, you know what? You keep sharing with the people about how good God has been to us. You need to add something to that. You need to make sure that you add something to it. And it's God has been good to us. But we haven't yet stepped into our destiny. And we need to be people of desperation and prayer. We need to be people that are walking throughout this building and saying, God, we stand on your promise. You promised us that if we would pray for you to come, you would bring the people. You promised us if we would attract you, that you would attract the people. We have not seen the fulfillment of that promise. There's too much empty space here, too much empty space there, and I've struggled with this. Because as I've been praying this prayer, I'm saying, but Lord, then I find myself doing what you told me not to do. I begin to fixate on people. I begin to say, God, there should be people there, and he continues to lovingly discipline me and say, I know it might be complicated for you as a human. I understand that, but I'm just simply saying this. You need to stand on the promise and say, God, I want you to come in all your fullness. I want you to bring all your salvation, all your deliverance, all your healing, all your signs, all your wonders. I want you to bring all your miracles. I want you to bring all your words of knowledge and tongues and interpretation and everything that you want to do. Teaching. teaching and preaching and prophetic words, whatever it is that you want to do in this place, God, I want you to do it. Why? Because somewhere in this city, in this wicked and corrupt city, in this proud and arrogant city, somewhere there needs to be an oasis in the desert. Somewhere there needs to be a place where people could say, I'm not going to that church because it's cool. I'm not going to that church because they have the slickest and the most and the this, that, and the other. I'm going to that place because never have I experienced anywhere before the presence of God like I have in that place. And we've got to be saying, Lord, we're not going to give up. We're not going to let up. We're not going to give in. We're not going to settle. We're not going to hold back. We're not going to do anything in the reverse. We're going to go forward with this prayer. Father, fill your house with your presence. Fill your people with your presence. Let us walk in the Spirit of Almighty God, not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit, saith the Lord. You know what the Lord's saying to me right now? He's telling me, stop. Step back. Lord, I thank you for these people, God. My friends and my family. I thank you, Lord, for their hearts, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for love for you and their response to you and their love for each other. But God, we're just people. And I know we're special. And I know we're made amazing in your image. But I also know that because of sin, our lives don't last. So we only have this one opportunity. We're in a kairos moment. We only have this one life. And I believe we only have this one moment. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. But God, I pray that you would help me not to settle, and that you would help me not to communicate to anyone that we should in some way settle. You have a plan. You have a promise. You have a purpose for us that has not yet been fulfilled. And so, Lord, I thank you for all the healings of the past, but I know, Lord, that it's only a sprinkle, Lord, of the deluge of rain that you want to pour, God. So I pray, Lord, that we would move beyond showers of blessing, Lord, that we would move, God, to a great deluge, Lord, of the presence of God in this place. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be humble before you, God. Please, Lord, help us to be holy before you, God. Please. Help us not to mess up, God. Help us not to lose unity that you've given to us and lose, God, the strength that you've given to us, both physically and spiritually, Father. God, I pray for those who are discouraged. Lord, I've noticed in the month of October that there have been a lot of people that haven't been here. Some of them for the whole month, some of them for not much of the month. And I know people are working out situations with jobs, as you know, doing services in the civic realm and hospitals, etc. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's anyone that's discouraged, wherever, if there's reasons that are keeping people out, Lord, of pursuing your presence and your purpose for us, God, that you would resurrect, God, that faith in us, Lord. We're in a kairos moment. Help us, God, to be the people that say it's time for us to enter into the promised land. It's time for us to enter into the promises of God. Father, I thank you for the strength to fight through October. Lord, I believe that what was sown in tears in October is your purpose is to see a reaping of that in November and December. So I pray, Father, that our November and December would be so full of joy and rejoicing at you being with us, God, and your work being among us. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for seeing us through, but I also know that you see us through, God, so that you would release us into a place, God, that we would experience what your plan is for us. So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would lead us into that place, God, and I pray that it wouldn't happen in January or February, Lord. I pray that it would happen in November and December, God, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray, Lord, that God, you would do a suddenly right now work, God. Lord, that you would do a kairos work, God, right now, right here in this place, at this moment, Father God. On this occasion, Lord God, we rejoice in, Lord, what you've done in the past. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the present. But it's time for us to believe in a new and a greater way for what you're going to do in the future. Father, we give ourselves to you, Lord. I give, Lord, all of us to you, Father. In Jesus' name, God. Amen.